Okay, thank you for that. Appreciated those songs. And the last one touched me when I thought about when that day finally comes, there won't be parties anymore. We won't be sending our children across the sea and to who knows where. Everything will be no heartaches, no tears, and so on. But while we live here, that's our lot in this life. While we live here, we are called to carry the cross to the ends of the earth, faithfully, cheerfully, and willingly. And that's what we're attempting to do as a family. You can imagine that our lives will be changing quite drastically this year with Marcus leaving for Iraq and Janelle getting married. And we'll do our best to keep smiling and be happy in spite of it. And it's a great privilege. I look at it as a great privilege. And I'm proud of Marcus wanting to go do this, and more proud of the fact that he wants to follow God's direction for his life. And so I'm here to bless that and continue to call that out. Okay, I want to take a few minutes to talk to the mothers this morning. And as I was reflecting on this, I want to honor my mother. My mom's name was Hannah, and I think she comes close to the Hannah in the Bible in character and so on, in prayer, I'm sure. And I appreciate her more as I grow older and realize, I guess, as my heart gets softer and more mature, I realize the value of godly mothers. There is no, I would venture to say, that is probably the greatest force for good and for maybe for bad in this world. You know, we as men carry a lot of weight and we make decisions, but I still think that a mother's influence trumps all of that. And it's just remarkable. And I'll be mentioning some mothers in the Bible here in a little bit. Mothers have the greatest influence in the world. And I suppose when you're holding that little baby in your arms, that two-year-old beside you, going through the store, and the way two-year-olds can be sometimes, you know, it's pretty easy to lose focus of, here I am training up a child that can change the course of, first of all, his life, and then also as his influence goes out into the world. And I just want to call that out in you as mothers, as you look at your children, see them through the eyes of what might be in a few years down the road. Tremendous, tremendous potential, tremendous opportunity. A mother's influence is a lot like the wind that fills the sails of a sailboat. Now, we don't see a lot of big ships with sails these days, but a mother's influence is pushing on those sails from the time of birth to the time of her death. If there's any connection between mother and child, there's like a wind that's blowing into those sails and pushing that ship forward. Every child can change that course. You know, we can all make a decision not to do what our mothers have taught us. We can do that. But our mothers, if they're godly, they are pushing through prayer and through tenderness and kindness. They're pushing on those sails, pushing that sailboat across life's sea. What would life be like if mothers were missing? Stop and think about it. What would life? It wouldn't be life. You know, our first mother, Mrs. Eve, she gave birth to the human race. And if you want to talk about impact from one person, it is incredible. Just the fact that she gave birth to the human race. And then also, as we think about Eve, what she did, that little disobedience that caused such, I don't know what the words would be, such an impact. It had such an impact upon the human race across the ages. Sometimes, you know, we don't think about our choices that way, but Eve made one small choice that impacted all of humanity, and it's incredible. The early formative years of a child's life is what largely sets the course for that person. those first 7 years or whatever that you have with that child as a mother will largely set the course for that person. Educators today know that. If they can have the first few years, and I think personally think that's why educators want the children as young as they possibly can have them. In kindergarten and pre-kindergarten, all the way, 3 years? I think they're starting out with almost 3 years anymore. And they know that if they can teach those children those early years, they can put pictures and words into their minds. Those things will go with them for life. Should be a very powerful tool in us, in our hands as Christians. Mothers that change the course of events in nations and the world. And I talked a little about Eve in the garden. Eve was created by God, and she was given a choice. She was given a choice, and she made a choice. Eve could not choose the consequences of that choice. But that choice, if you follow the consequences of that choice today, we're still suffering thanks to Eve. And I love Eve. I'm not going to have a problem with her because we all would have done the same thing. But it's just a lesson for us to think about as mothers. In a moment of carnality, we're talking to the mothers today, and I know fathers are just as guilty of this, but we're talking to the mothers. A moment of carnality, one sharp word, one disobedience, one little action that can change the course of that child's life for good or for bad. And so it's a tremendous, tremendous challenge. Mrs. Abraham, she laughed at the promise of a child in her old age. And what 90-year-old woman wouldn't chuckle a little bit if someone were to walk up and say, "Hey, you're going to have a baby. Thelma, you're not even 90 yet." And, you know, and she was rebuked for that. Because why did you laugh? And it was the word of the Lord. But in spite of her laughter at the promise, she brought forth a child that is still impacting the world today through the Jewish nation. It's incredible if you follow that influence down through the ages. One child Sarah had the opportunity to give birth to, but that changed the history and the course of the world in many ways. It's very interesting today how that Israel, the nation of Israel, is impacting the world. I just heard somebody say the other day that out of 10,000 people in the country of Israel, 150 approximately, I think it was, are scientists and technicians or something like that. For example, in the United States, out of 10,000 people, there is about 75 per 10,000 that are scientists. And so there's a lot of things that are coming out of the country of Israel in the medical field and so on. I don't want to go into that a lot. But it goes back to Abraham and Sarah. Because of their faithfulness, God was able to bring forth this child, birth the nation of Israel. We have the Old Testament largely because of the nation of Israel, don't we? Tremendous, rich wealth of history and lessons in the Old Testament largely because of Abraham and Sarah's faithfulness. And they weren't all that faithful if you stop and think about it. But God used them. And I want to give hope to any mothers here this morning. If I go through this list and you think, well, these were these great godly women that were perfect. No, they weren't. They were women just like you are. I was going to say you and I, but I'm not a woman. Just like you ladies. They were women just like you that had the same temptation, same feelings, same whatever. But God was able to use them because of their faithfulness and their desire to please God. Hannah, in her desperation for a child, Santos talked a little bit about that this morning. Hannah was desperate. She had sorrow of heart. She wept sore in the temple there, and God in His mercy looked upon her and gave her Samuel. Samuel was a tremendous influence on the children of Israel. Tremendous godly prophet that came forth from Hannah's bowels, so to speak. Her desperation for God to do something for her and what God gave her was tremendous. I want to ask the children how well you know your Bible stories. Can I have your attention, children? Who was Jael? Mr. Heber's wife. fact, there's a hand, Sean. Yeah, that's pretty gross, isn't it? Mr. Sisera came into her tent. He thought for whatever reason he was safe there. And Jael got out the hammer and was it a tent peg and put it right through his head and nailed him to the ground. And because of that, the Israelites gained a great victory over Jabin, one of the Canaanite kings. It was because of Jael's faithfulness. Now, I have said this different times. I'm very grateful that we're not living in the Old Testament time. So that's a story for the Old Testament, and I'd like to just leave it in the Old Testament because that's a pretty, pretty brutal thing to do. But that was part of their life back then, and she was a faithful woman. She had courage. If you talk about having courage, I cannot imagine my wife doing something like that. I don't know about yours. But she had tremendous courage to take that hammer and that nail and drive it through his head and kill this Sisera. What about Bathsheba? Bathsheba, when David was an old man, found enough of courage and grace to go into David and plead that he would make Solomon the king. Because David was at the point of death. And at that point, I think it was Abijah, if I remember the name right, he had already said, I'm going to be king. And he had made a celebration. And Bathsheba went into King David and said, would you please, my words, make Solomon the king? And through her influence and also Nathan the prophet, they gave the kingship to Solomon. Now think of what would have happened if that would not have happened. If Bathsheba would have said, I don't think she would have been passive. She would not have had a vision for her son to be the king of Israel. Think of how different the Bible would read today. King Solomon was one of the greatest kings in the nation and the history of the children of Israel. Probably brought about pretty much the peak of it. By the peak, I mean the crowning glory of Israel's days, I would say, in the time of the kings at least. And it was largely due to Bathsheba's willingness to plead with King David to give the kingdom to Solomon. What about Esther? Esther's willingness to risk her very life to save her people. We know that story well from annihilation. In the New Testament, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus. Her words are never far from me. When the angel showed up there, wherever she was, the angel came to her and told her what's going to happen. What did Mary say? Does anybody know? Remember? Yes, Thelma. Be it unto me according to thy word. And if you stop and think, those words are loaded. And they should be the cry of all of our hearts, and especially you as mothers. Be it unto me according to the word of the Lord, or according to thy word. And that meant tremendous heartache and pain for her later when she saw Jesus hanging on the cross. This child that she gave birth to that brought so much hope to her heart, to the whole nation of Israel. Here is the Messiah. Here is the King of Israel. And he was hanging there on that cross. Now the story ends very well. But there was a time of extreme, extraordinary difficulty for her. Be it unto me according to thy word. The woman at the well. The woman at the well changed the whole town by her testimony. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? She met Jesus at the well. She went back and told her people, hey, here's a prophet. And it changed the whole town. Read the story sometime. It's remarkable what she did to that town. Mothers that brought their children to Jesus. Many mothers brought their children to Jesus for a blessing. Can you do that today? Of course you can. You bring them to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Here's my child, Jesus. I pray for him. Would you use him for your glory? Would you bless him? And all of those prayers that many of you are praying today for your children. God bless you for that. The woman that put 2 pennies in the offering at the temple. Think of the encouragement to giving today that this woman impacted. She gave 2 pennies and Jesus said she gave more than all those people. Gives hope to poor people in poverty and so on to give to the kingdom of God. Dorcas. Many widows and people in need were touched by her good deeds. You read the story of Dorcas in the book of Acts. It's a blessing. Many widows and people in need were touched by her. The women's prayer meeting by the river. Paul visited that prayer meeting. There was women that were going out by the river and praying. I don't know what they were praying for, but they were praying. I want to bless those of you amongst this congregation that are serious about praying. God bless you. You have no idea how much I appreciate that. And I know you're doing it, and God bless you for it. Women's prayer meetings. Lydia, the lady that sold purple fabric, known for her open heart to the Lord, which resulted in her whole family being baptized. And also she was very hospitable to Paul. And the list goes on and on and on. I don't want to take more time except for a prayer opportunity. So thank you, mothers. Thank you, Lord, for faithful mothers. And may God bless you, especially during those times when you feel like your work is not being noticed. And I wanted to mention this one, the difference between, I should have started out with this, but the difference between when dad calls the daughter and when mom calls the daughter. My wife told me this the other day, and I think I remember how it was. Dad has three questions on the phone. What's the weather? What's for supper? And where's mom? And if you have heard any conversations between mom and daughter, you know that they can talk for a long time. And they cover probably those topics maybe sometimes. But it's just a difference between men and women. So thank the Lord for you. And God bless you as you continue to serve in your role that He has called you to. In childbearing, child training, serving in food like some of the things that Santos mentioned earlier this morning, we do appreciate it as men if we take time to stop and think about it. And so, okay, I'm going to just pray a blessing on you as mothers, and then I'm going to give opportunity. If you would have the microphones ready for anyone that, if you don't want to get up out of your seat, but you want to pray for the ladies, a mother by name, you can just raise your hand and we can take some time for that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the mothers in our lives as men, as children, as sons and daughters, husbands. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray specifically and especially for the mothers here today that are carrying little ones. I pray that you would bless them, O Father, with a eternal perspective. I pray that they would see how that they can chart the course for this child and how they can impact and influence this child. Oh, Lord, I pray that wisdom and grace upon them. I pray also for courage to face the challenges that they face in dealing with the children and with the challenges of homemaking and so on. I just pray a blessing upon them. Fill them with peace and hope and courage and strength. We trust it into your hands, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us right now. I pray in your name. Amen.